What's up, Clips fans? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Locklear.
Did you like the dramatic pause?
Yeah, that was good.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. In case you know, we're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content.
Check us on the Himalaya app.
Soon to be the fresh postseason content.
Oh, yeah.
We got a huge game tonight against the Jazz, so we're going to be kicking things off with a little preview of that action, what you're going to want to look for, some key matchups, as well as what could go terribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And then, since it's Ralph's last game, the second two segments are going to kind of be Ralph-focused.
Just talking Ralph.
On our regular Wednesday segment, What Could Have Been Wednesdays, we're actually doing a What Will Be.
Yeah.
So
taking a look at the future a little bit.
So stay tuned for that one, and then we're going to wrap things up with just some more kind of general Ralph talk, talk about his legacy for the Clippers. So if you're a Ralph head...
Which you should be.
You're going to like this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
Oh, man. So tonight, we've been talking about this for months, about how this game is just as important, and shockingly, it is.
I think, ever since the schedule was released, I looked at this being our last game, and I was like, damn it, I know it's going to come down to this game.
Yeah. So a little short primer for you guys. So no matter what, the Clippers will be the seventh seed. No matter what, seventh or eighth, excuse me. So we can't get sixth.
Yeah.
We can't get sixth. To get the seventh
seed. Oh, we can't get sixth because OKC won last night.
Yes.
Man, the Rockets could have moved up to two.
Could have moved up to two. So to get the seventh seed, the Spurs need to lose to the Mavs, and we got to win tonight.
That's not going to happen.
Might happen.
It's not going to happen.
Probably not going to happen. Or the Thunder lose.
To the Bucks.
To the Bucks, who don't have Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spurs win, and we win, we're seven. Those are the two ways we can be the seventh seed.
So we're looking at eight.
We're probably looking at eight. I don't feel comfortable judging seeds anymore based on the giant preview we did last Friday about how we were for sure going to be the sixth seed.
I thought that was as low as we could drop, but there was no way in my mind that we were going to drop that Lakers game.
Yeah, I mean, say it with everybody.
Especially just with the team was playing, you would think with a kind of a very important game, but against a lesser opponent, you really hope to put those games away.
Yeah, so anyway, I mean, bottom line is we have to win tonight.
I don't want to be a nihilist, but I kind of feel like we're looking at eight.
I think we are too. But a win tonight goes well for team momentum. We're definitely not on a four-game losing streak going to the playoffs. The funk is expunged.
Yeah.
Playoffs might start on Saturday for us, which is crazy. We'll know we'll probably know the schedule early tomorrow, if not at the end of the game tonight.
Yeah.
Close. Anyway, all right, let's get into this game preview. I didn't realize this stat. The Utah Jazz are tied for the second best win percentage in the NBA after the ASB All-Star break.
Yes. They are tied with the Trailblazers. They've been phenomenal. They have the second best defensive rating in the league as well, post All-Star break at 105. 14th ranked offense, though.
Okay, so middle of the road.
Which is pretty solid. They also have a plodding pace compared to ours. They're 14th ranked to our 8th. We average about three more possessions per game.
All right, I like that for our...
So, yeah. Yeah.
We're a little tentative.
It's going to be a tough game, but let's get into what we need to do to win. Enough of these numbers.
We need to stop Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
He has our number.
Yeah.
In the two games we've played, he's put up 28 and 32. Beverly's had him for most of the last game. Held him to 43% shooting from the field, which is admirable in a game where someone goes for 32. But I'm hoping that Bev isn't too rusty from missing these last couple of games.
Definitely.
It's such a hard task to come in and now guard Donovan Mitchell after not playing. We got to be able to shut him down. I don't know if we can. We just haven't proved we've been able to. This is going to be such a big rhythm game. I just want to get the Jazz off their rhythm.
Yeah, just, Crooks 5-0, Crooks to just 5-0 off of that.
Yeah.
We got to force turnovers and dominate on the fast break. So we've managed to force Utah into turning the ball over more than us in both competitions. And one of the Jazz's worst stats, they're actually 27th in the league in turnovers. They turn the ball over nearly 15% of total possessions.
Okay.
So let's hope that, like, with Shea's defensive jump that he's made, even just in the last few games, I feel like, and Bev's return, we can both manage the ball well on the offensive end and kind of capitalize on their mistakes. This to me, just becomes doubly important if we're getting killed on the glass.
Oh, absolutely. I'm hoping the length, I mean, Shea's steel sense, I'm trying to think of a word for that, has been crazy good these past couple games. I hope he can continue to get that. You mentioned boards. We can't let Gobert start to feel it.
Yeah.
I know we're probably not going to be able to stop Gobert.
Yeah.
So the best we can do is kind of just mitigate his dominance in the paint.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just kind of like taper it off a little bit.
Yeah.
So if Zoo is locked in defensively and it's just a little harder for Gobert, there's not, I hope, I mean, JaVale McGee kind of had his way with Zoo. So I'm hoping our minds are right in terms of keeping our eye on the back door cuts. I'm hoping the paint defense is a little more locked in than it was against, say, Houston or the Lakers or something like that. We just got to get him off his rhythm, and we have to be crafty enough when finishing on the offensive end.
Definitely.
That he doesn't start to get gassed up on himself. Because he's probably maybe the DPOY. We just can't let him get that confidence.
I think that ball movement is going to go a long way in that.
For sure.
Just like that's going to kind of
bad lately.
It's going to shake their defense a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's especially going to make it harder for Gobert, who, I mean, like, he's a really strong defender. It seems like sometimes he can be a bit of a ball watcher. So if we're able to whip that thing around, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm not promising anything. I actually really don't like this matchup for Zubats.
No, I don't either.
But yeah, Trez has been pretty solid against their bigger dudes, but we'll get into that in key matchups. Yeah. The other thing we need to do to win is honestly just high volume scoring. I think we just need to get up as many attempts as we can. Our offensive upside, like on paper, front to back, is a lot better than theirs. Like looking at it, I would say.
Yeah.
We just have a lot more weapons and guys who are capable of like 20 plus points.
Going off, if you will.
So that's going to be, I think that is another thing that can kind of rattle their defense a little bit, uh-huh. is if we're able to kind of get an offensive swing early, and we just got to kind of make these guys get nervous and lure them into a firefight, really.
I'm down for that. Unless Ingles gets hot, in which case, put that thing out.
But they're 29th in the league in field goal attempts. Another thing that they're like really,
I didn't know they were that low.
Yeah, low at. And they do get high percentage shots, so that does work in their favor. But if we can just get a couple of shots, blocked a couple of big stops, and manage to let our offense, you know, run as
the
it has
natural
before,
pace. Yeah.
Yeah, then you know, it's a good matchup. And they are currently letting opponents knock down shots at nearly a 46% clip when they're playing on the road.
Okay. And hopefully the arena is going to be rocking tonight for Ralph's last game.
Yeah.
I like this note. This last thing you have is get to the line, which is kind of hard against these guys because they are very good at not fouling.
Yeah.
They're a really good defensive team.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we have to if we're going to beat this team.
Definitely. It'll go a long way. They're fifth in free throw attempts, but they're 26th in percentage.
That's because of Gobert?
I would guess, yeah. So this is another one of those areas where we have a very clear advantage.
Yeah. Man, it's going to be tough tonight.
Speaking of tough, let's talk about what could go wrong.
So the Jazz played fantastic defense against us twice this year. But the last game, we shot 39%, a game that we were up 17 points early in. And then we just kind of didn't do anything. Some of that was poor shooting. But even going back to the January loss, we shot 45% from the field and weirdly 45% from three.
Yeah, I know. Looking at
we
some
only
of these,
took 22 though.
Looking at some of these game charts, it's like we did a lot right.
Yeah, but we just did some things horribly wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
So if Gallo, Bev, and Green kind of aren't feeling 100% game ready, and Shamit can't kind of keep his momentum shooting wise from the Warriors game, we could get a little stifled early. We could be in the maybe sub 100 point range for this one. I'm a little worried about that.
Oh, man. Don't even say that.
It's just a possibility. What do you got?
Another thing that could go wrong is going off that, the shooting woes. Gallo has gone 3 for 14 in both of these outings with the Jazz. The
Jazz have his number, man.
And I'll get into that a little bit more in the matchups. But yeah, he's going to have to shoulder a heavier offensive load.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And it's so hard coming off not playing. Now, one last factor. This is another obvious one. They just kill us in the paint and on the boards.
Yeah.
In the 6-point loss, we managed to actually tie them in points in the paint only lost rebounds by 9. So I'm going to have to imagine they understand their key is not letting that happen again. They still won that game, but I mean, we got to beat them in points in the paint somehow.
Yeah.
And somehow out-rebound.
A big part of the points in the paint is going to be Trez, which I'll also dig into in the matchup.
And I'm hoping we get a good rebounding game from Bev, like those, you know, maybe a random 9-board game, or Gallo's down there kind of doing this, because they play a slow pace, so you don't necessarily have to get back too fast when you're trying to get the defensive glass.
And we,
offensive glass, excuse me.
We've beat them in fast break points in both outings. In the 6-point loss, it was a narrow margin. It was 13 to their 11. But the first outing, we actually killed them on the fast break, 20-5. And this was before I feel like we had really even shored up our transition defense.
Yeah.
As it's been a lot better in the latter parts of the season.
Yeah.
So, I hope that trend can continue. But some matchups, I mean, the biggest one
for me. You got a bunch on here, man.
The biggest one. This was the most exciting part to me, was like looking at these matchups. Because the Jazz, like, they're a good defensive team because I think they know what to do and they have kind of schemes in place.
Very well drilled.
So we a little bit know what we're going to get in these matchups. So Donovan Mitchell versus Pat is going to be huge.
He has
to stop or at least slow him down. And, you know, that's going to be the biggest key to getting this win. Pat held him to 6 of 14. Last outing, and 2 of 4 in the first. So he has been decent against him.
It's possible for sure.
It's possible for him to hold Donovan Mitchell sub 40. The other thing is just going to be avoiding fouls.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm pretty sure in that second outing, Mitchell got to the line like 4 times with Patrick Beverley on him. So he's going to need to limit those fouls as well.
What else you got? Keep going, man. You got like 4 of these.
Oh, man.
I'm into it.
I have so many for you guys. So Gallo versus Crowder. Now, Crowder hasn't been starting in the forward position. They generally have him come off the bench. However, he's guarded Gallo for like 80% of possessions through both of those games. And in that huge loss, he held Gallo to 1 of 6. And in the close game, he held Gallo to 2 of 9.
That's so hard to do.
Yeah.
Hats off to Crowder.
So, and a big part of that, in my opinion, is that with Gobert, the post game is kind of taken away from Gallo.
Absolutely.
There's
to your chagrin.
I know, much to my chagrin. So really, the key to this matchup is just going to be Gallo finding ways to score effectively. And I think most of that is he's just going to have to find his rhythm at distance. He's going to have to find it early.
Ball's going to have to be moving around.
Yeah, anytime he has space, he's going to have to put up a shot.
This will be a crucial game for Shea running the offense, which is something everyone listening likes to see because we actually run actual plays.
Yeah, definitely.
Keep going with these matchups, bro.
And just a note on that Shea thing, too. Donovan Mitchell has not been very effective at stopping Shea.
Uh-oh.
He's had double-digit games in both of these outings, I'm pretty sure. And I expect to, like... His offensive surge has been huge recently, so I'm expecting that trend to continue. But our main scorer, our bread and butter scorer,
this is what I think is the most important one.
Lou Williams is gonna be against the forwards.
They like to do that.
They really like to put bigger bodies on Lou. So, I mean, we got to expect them to trap. People have, I'm sure, seen the footage on how effective trapping is.
Yeah, the Lakers did it.
Against this second unit. And it's going to be even harder against these forwards. So they're going to try to take advantage of size mismatches, especially against Lou. So Ingles and Royce O'Neal have guarded Lou Williams for about 80% of his possessions through both games. And they've really been able to keep Lou Will from converting.
Yeah.
But in the first outing, he found a little bit more of a rhythm. Neither of them could hold him to below 60%. So let's hope that that happens and it's not more like the last game where they were really effective in stopping him.
Yeah.
That's another one of those things where we just talked about in our what we need to do to win is he's just got to get to the line if offensively he's not able to make it work. And then another big one for our bench is going to be Trez versus Favors and Gobert. So
I don't like this.
They treat this matchup with Trez with a lot of credence. And I think that speaks leagues about Trez's just improvement as a player, especially as an offensive tool.
First time we've used the word credence on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well done.
So they generally keep a starter of him once again for 80% of the time that Trez is on the floor.
God, Quinn Snyder's a good coach.
Yeah, which works in our advantage in terms of fatigue, hopefully.
Yeah.
So in the first outing, Favors held Harrell to 2 of 4. Gobert held Trez to 2 of 6. And in the second outing, Trez was a lot more effective at scoring.
Yeah.
Favors could only hold him to 4 of 5, and Gobert only held Trez to 3 of 5. So let's just hope for more of that latter. Let's hope that he can find ways to score on these guys. It's going to be difficult. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It's going to be really hard matchup. But and then one just matchup I got to throw out there. I don't have too much in-depth on it. But, like, Shamet versus Ingles is kind of a nightmare for us.
Ingles is so much bigger than he is.
Yeah, Ingles is so much better. He's a great defender, and he's so pesky.
Yeah.
He's the guy. He's, like, another one of those guys, what people say about Pat, like, guy that you hate to play but would love to have on your team.
For sure. And he was on our team at one point.
Yeah, yeah. So there's some extra salt in that wound.
Yeah. My one matchup is Bev, Gallo, and Green versus the pace of the game.
Uh-huh.
We know the Jazz are middle of the road in the pace, so that bodes well in terms of energy and stamina.
Mm-hmm.
But Bev's going to be on Mitchell, which is hard physically.
Yeah.
You're going to be running around for him. Gallo's probably going to be on Crowder and Favors.
Yeah.
Which is going to be hard for him physically. And then Green was guarded by Thabo and Crowder. So he's kind of the same boat Gallo is. I'm just hoping they're not too fatigued to put up a good shooting night.
Yeah.
It's just going to be hard. What's your prediction for this game?
I think this one's going to be difficult. I mean, I think if we have any chance of winning this game, we have to score 115 or more.
What?
Yeah.
God damn, dude. So I don't know if we can do that.
I think if we win this game, it's something like 115 to 112.
Oof. Okay.
Or, yeah, 115 to 108 if we're really firing.
Man. You're predicting a win, though.
It's Rolf's last home game. I can't predict a loss.
Yeah, I'm predicting a win as well. I think it's going to be around maybe like one. I think it's going to be kind of like 108-105.
Yeah, I mean,
somewhere around that range.
I definitely could see it being a lower scoring game, but in my opinion, if we're really playing to our strengths, like we got to be putting up one more than 112.
I hope so. Coming back for this, we're doing a What Could Have Been Wednesday, but first, quick shout out to Tom's Urban. It is right across the street from Staples Center. I believe their happy hour tonight is half off the pours.
Yeah.
Everything that pours tend to close. Go get a giant Modelo. It's great. They got 70 big screen TVs so you can watch the game. If you can't get tickets to Ralph's last game, that makes total sense. Should be a packed house. We had the barbecue chicken pizza there on Sunday for the watch party. It was fantastic. Yeah, go ahead and check out Tom's Urban LA Live. Tell them Will and Chuck sent you. So welcome to What Could Have Been Wednesday. I don't think you'll get anything if you mention that at Tom's Urban at all.
You're like a used car salesman.
Absolutely, dude. I'm wearing white patent leather shoes right now. So this is Ralph's last home game for the regular season.
Man.
I had a tweet about it. It felt like Christmas morning last night, but the opposite.
So anti-Christmas morning?
Like, you're excited, but you're just like, this sucks, though. Like, I was so excited. I was like, this is his last time coming to the regular season.
Yeah.
It's not good. So we're talking who's going to be the next. This is what will be Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Got in the time machine, hit it and forward. Who's going to be the next Clippers announcer? Most likely seems like Brian Seaman right now.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Great on the radio. Who else do you want to see next to him? You think they're going to rotate people?
Yeah. What about Hollins?
Hollins has really grown on me.
Yeah.
I really like it. He moans too much on the broadcast, which is something someone made a super cut of, and it's hilarious. If I can find it, I will. I don't think Donnie Mack's going to be brought back.
No.
I don't think
so. Because of the Rocket stuff?
And no one seems to like him.
Yeah, on Twitter,
I'm not against him. It seems
like people really don't like him.
Like, the Harden stuff, obviously, I'm on everyone else's side. It was like, dude, we're just getting our asses kicked. Let it go, bro. But other than that, people don't seem to like him.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a bit negative.
Yeah.
The beauty of Ralph.
I think you need one positive guy and one guy who's like either a realist or a negative person.
What you're saying is you need a positive and an opinion, if you will.
What?
No, yeah. No, that'd be, we are not qualified in any way to do that job. But yeah, Donnie, I mean, maybe in spells, maybe they'll do another rotating thing, but I think it's going to be Brian Seaman probably for the majority of it.
Yeah.
For like the set guy, which will be great. Do you think Bill Walton maybe comes back? Do you think he wants to? I don't think that he comes back.
I think that like he might pop in for games.
He's calling the game tonight with Ralph.
Unannounced. He'll just show up and give me a headset.
He's like doing like a drop in at the Comedy Store. He's like, let me do 15.
He's just doing the turn the effing mic on.
Yeah. He's commentating the game tonight with Ralph. I was debating maybe watching this game in the Chickering press room so we could hear Ralph and Bill call the game.
I mean, I'm interested in that, but I'm probably going to be watching.
Probably going to be watching up in the press box.
In the press box. Yeah, that's fair.
What if Billy Crystal decides to be the announcer for next year?
I'm here for it.
I'd love it.
I'm here for it.
Is there anyone?
I think it should be a celebrity or aging celebrity is kind of an interesting choice for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Just because it seems like a little bit out of character, but if it's like, I feel like Billy Crystal is kind of an everyman celebrity.
Yeah, if you don't like Billy Crystal, you got problems.
City Slickers is a great movie.
So's Analyze This and Analyze That.
Harry Met Sally, beautiful. His wardrobe in that film inspired Drake's wardrobe.
Bit problematic watching it in 2019.
Yeah.
We'll get into that in our When Harry Met Sally segment after this. No, it's just so hard. I mean, I can't imagine that, especially, I mean, all the stuff with Corey Maggette. I don't think he's coming back.
What if it was just Cheryl Miller? I mean, man, I know she's busy, but
I'm getting bummed. She's not going to call a game with Ralph this year, I don't think.
Playoffs. Today is the last game. Yeah.
But they totally really seems like the Clippers dropped the ball or.
See, I think having somebody like that.
They just announced she was going to do it at one point.
Somebody who has been so successful at every level and then like has a great basketball mind.
For sure.
I think having somebody like that is really, really interesting.
I can't fathom how hard it is to find who's going to replace Ralph.
Yeah.
How do you find someone for replacement of anybody, let alone someone who's fantastic at their job for over 40 years?
Yeah.
I like the idea of like Brian Seaman and then an ex-player.
Yeah.
So like Hollins makes sense. I like that.
Hollins makes sense, yeah.
If you guys have any ideas, tweet them at us. I haven't gotten a whole bunch of them, but it seems like. What?
Drew Carey.
Drew Carey? Yeah, that'd be great. He knows a bunch about basketball. I just can't think of it. I mean, I wish.
Great improviser, so.
Very true. I wish Corey Maggette, I wish that situation. Also, I wish we had more info on that situation. I Googled it and I've been trying to research it. Nothing from the initial reports.
Yeah, seems bleak.
Which seems bad for Corey Maggette.
Yeah.
He got pulled, obviously hasn't been back since the rape allegations from when he was at Duke.
I think Fox terminated his contract.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is there a chance we bring Bruce Bowen back?
Ooh.
No? I don't think so.
I don't know. I didn't mind Bruce on the
No, but Kawhi doesn't like him.
I don't even know if that's true. You know what I mean? Like, we made such a big deal out of this.
But it's like, I don't know if it's a real
And like, thing. Was that even on Kawhi's radar?
I don't know. I don't think Kawhi was worried about Bruce.
Yeah.
Anyway, again, if you guys have any ideas for who possibly can fill in next to Brian Seaman, tweet them at us at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, or at Charles Mockler. Coming back from this, we're going to be running down some of our favorite Ralph moments from this season. There's too many of his career stories going this season. But first, guys, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. Aggregates all the feeds. They got Locked On MLB on there now.
Oh, wow.
You can hear the recap of the Dodgers' crushing loss to the Cardinals last night. On Instagram, you get the biggest stories in just 1 minute on your stories feed, which is great. Also, check us out on the Himalaya app, which is fantastic for ranking, ordering episodes. You can hear
ranking?
I don't know. You can rank them if you want. You can hear us be ecstatic about the possible matchup with the Lakers on Friday, and then listen to us on Monday. Eat our words.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Himalaya app and shout out to Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. So we're just doing some Ralph talk.
Okay.
Just a fantastic man in general.
Yeah.
There's some great quotes from the Danny Chow article in The Ringer. This was probably my favorite one, though. His voice has provided an essential counterbalance to the Hollywood myth perpetuated by the Lakers and Dodgers that everything here is glamorous. Sometimes the only thing you can control is how much effort you put into making your situation a little more tenable. Lawler's voice reflected that.
Wow.
He absolutely did.
Yeah.
I mean, there's quotes of him being like, there were days when we were down 18, 10 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
And he still had the best day of his life because he was at the game.
Yeah. how much he loves this team is so admirable.
It makes my heart hurt.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah.
I ran down a couple of my favorite moments this season. I think you'll probably agree with some of them. I posted the clip of Lou hitting the game winner over the Nets.
Oh, man.
That is one of the most emphatic bingos ever.
That was so wild.
He goes, Lou, bingo! He unleashes it.
I know. I didn't even get to experience that bingo until after the fact because I was at the game.
But yeah.
Man, that was wild.
It was crazy. This is probably your favorite one. Just trashing Joakim's Noah's free throws.
Oh, yeah. He was just talking about how it made him sick.
Yeah.
There was a game where Noah kind of killed us.
He did kill us.
And actually made a lot of free throws.
Ralph kept going, I don't know how these are going.
He was perfect on free throws, I think, until the final quarter.
Yeah.
I think he still ended up going like 12 or 14 or something ridiculous.
It was crazy. And then, weirdly enough, Avery Bradley's dunk on Clay.
Oh, yeah.
His call, he goes, jam by Bradley. What a play by Bradley. He's so surprised that Bradley did this for a bunch of reasons, I'm assuming. But this one is like, you can hear the pure. The thing about Ralph is you can hear the joy. He's almost not, he's announcing the game, but he's in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he had quotes about how he could tell when announcers are down. He goes, you know, the team's downtrodden, and some of the play-by-play guys sound downtrodden.
Yeah.
He goes, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And especially he knows that.
Yeah, I guess that's another hard thing. We talked about it in the previous segment, but just finding somebody, you have to find somebody who's like as much of a champion for the team as Ralph was.
Yes, without also being an insane homer.
Yeah, that's true.
Another thing
I loved is he's still, I mean, it's not completely objective, obviously. But, you know, he didn't trash other teams. He always made it a point to, like, do his best pronouncing names and stuff.
Absolutely.
Which I think is, like, a respectful
something
move.
Some announcers don't do. Boston. Giannis Santa, I don't know what he's talking about. I've never heard anyone say they switched a Clippers game because the announcer was annoying.
Yeah.
Which I think is not true for almost any other team.
Yeah.
God, it's going to be suck that he's gone, man.
I've just been so worried about this game and matchups for the end of the season.
Trying to compartmentalize it.
Yeah.
It's like when mom and dad are fighting, you're like, I got this math test. I can't deal with this right now.
Yeah.
Do you prefer bingo or Omi Omai or the lob the jam? Which of those three is your favorite?
I like Omi Omai just because it's so wholly original and emblematic of a single announcer. Like, another person could say the lob the jam and I wouldn't be like, oh, that's a blatant ripoff. Like, that's
now I will. I'll punch that person in the face.
But like, oh me oh my is something like no other announcer could ever say that.
Yeah. I like
it's
it
just
too,
like so unique.
It's versatile.
Yeah.
I posted a clip on Twitter of when Blake got called for a travel against the Spurs and Ralph goes, oh me, oh my.
Yeah, you posted about this on Twitter, but like just how just how it could convey so many different things.
It's fantastic. I mean, the lob the jam for me is, I mean, just those Lob City days, it was like, he must have said that, I don't know, 1,500 times?
Yeah.
There's a lob the jam for when Lamar Odom threw that crazy oop to Darius Miles.
Uh-huh.
The only video of it is like a granular, like it's almost like black and white. Everyone's like a pixel square.
Yeah.
But Ralph just loses his mind. Like, he's so excited. Oh, man, tonight's going to be tough. There's going to be a bunch of ceremonies. There's not going to be a dry eye in the house.
Yeah.
If you're not crying at this game, I don't know. Get your amygdala checked. Just watch Free Solo. Will's shaking his head for some reason. Doesn't like that one. Also, catch us. We're going to be on the Clips cast.
Yeah.
Shout out Chris Wilde and Mike Jag. We're recording that after this game. Not sure when it's going to come out, but it should be a good time.
Yeah, it'll be a great time.
Very excited. Guys, tomorrow, we're going to have a hopeful recap of this victory against the Jazz.
We'll have a definite recap.
Hopeful recap of the victory, excuse me. I always get those out of order. We should know playoff seeding.
Yeah.
Should know playoff seeding. We should maybe even know the schedule by the time we record.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a whole mess of previews for you guys.
Definitely.
We're going to be doing Thirsty Thursdays, maybe some general NBA scuttlebutt. Oh, also shout out Magic Johnson. Big shout out Magic Johnson.
Oh yeah, we didn't have time to talk about this today. But
shout out Magic Johnson for quitting the GM or quitting the president of basketball operations job the same way I've quit bad restaurant jobs.
Yeah,
by just stop. By just not telling anybody.
Pre-shift.
I'm done. This is my last one. Bye, guys. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I've been William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening.